Hunt, hunt, hunt.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Jason Wilde is brought to you by Lakeland Supply. Lakeland Supply is in business to make your business better. Set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com. Exterior Pros. Ready to tackle your home improvement project? Exterior Pros and Baths is giving $3,000 off roofing, siding, windows, or bath remodels this month. Visit extpros.com. Also brought to you by Century Foods. Change your grocery game plan to locally owned Century Foods, home of the best meat, freshest produce, and tastiest treats.
He is our friend, he is our teammate, he is Jason Wilde. He joins us three times a week on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Jason.
Gabe. Gabe.
Oh boy, what'd Gabe do?
What'd I do now?
I mean, I don't know if you have some sort of one of those voodoo dolls that's wearing a number 8 jersey or what, but I don't know. Last week's conversation.
Oh, jinxy jinx.
Suggesting. Well, I'd really like to see what this offense does without Josh Jacobs.
Jordan Love looked pretty good after he went out, Jason. I'm just saying that he looked pretty good after Josh went out. They went a little under center more. They actually ran that boot play that I like, and he didn't throw it to the tight end. He ended up throwing it to Romeo, picked up like 10, 15 yards. It looked a little more, it looked, to use Chewy's words, it looked a little more flowy outside of the drops.
Yeah, okay. Well, I just want to state publicly for the record that I want to make sure that on Wilde and Tausch, you being the national radio host that you are, never will say, boy, you know, I think this show would be better with Jesse as the host.
Jason, could Malik Willis be a crappy starter like so many back-end NFL teams in this league?
For sure, he could be, right? Like, look, and you know this, Tausch knows this, Gary Ellerson knows this, but Brad Nortman knows this. You guys, y'all play in the league. You know what this, where you go and who you play for and what their system is, all that stuff matters,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And so, like, I look at Tennessee and, you know, I obviously having some familial connections to Oregon, like Marcus Mariota is someone that I've always followed, right? I mean, I have a picture of the girls when they were like 3 and 4, standing in front of his locker in the Ducks locker room. I mean, he goes to Tennessee, and there's a story about the offensive coordinator there at the time who basically, there was no real system. It was just sort of like throw him out there and make something happen, which is preposterous mm-hmm. in the NFL. But, you know, he ends up being a journeyman player. Right. I mean, he's obviously been starting now for Washington because of Jaden Daniels' injury. But like if he goes somewhere else, maybe even he goes and they don't follow the Rodgers and Love plan because most places don't. I always hate this because most places don't have a Hall of Fame quarterback in place. So you can sit a guy for 3 years. But if he goes to a different situation, Mariota potentially has a completely different career.
Mm-hmm.
And then, lo and behold, I mean, look at what has happened at Tennessee with quarterbacks,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, it's him, it's Willis, it's Will Levis.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
What are the chances that Cam Ward is going to succeed? Basically, if they hire someone, right? If they hire whoever the Ben Johnson is of the next hiring cycle, or maybe if some Packers fans get their wish, maybe Matt LaFleur will be available for the Tennessee Titans, right? So I just think that matters so much. And I look at Malik Willis, who is such a, like, he's got some really good qualities, right? I mean, his running ability, he was at, people forget, oh, he went to Liberty, and people were talking about him as a first-round pick back then. Well, he started out at Auburn, and he transferred mm-hmm. out of there. Like, he has ability, and you see him throw passes and think, okay, this guy's not just a running quarterback, like, but he was just in such a bad situation there. And so if he were to move on after this season, as he's a free agent, and a team signs him to be their starter, which I don't necessarily think is going to happen, but if it were to happen, like, if he goes to the right situation, I think he could be pretty darn good. He could be a very serviceable starter. But, like, all the stuff that, like, there was stuff said about him, like, he couldn't process a playbook, and, like, it's just crap.
It just,
because it's so dependent on that.
It just goes
his
to show
teammate,
you.
Yeah, his teammate straight up, Taylor Lewan, like, and then apologized last year after the good stuff he had. But Taylor Lewan, part of Bussin' with the Boys, said, yeah, this guy just doesn't know football.
But it just shows you what good coaches can do with players.
Correct.
You know, because look at Holmgren back, you know, Holmgren, Mark Burnell, Aaron Brooks, Ty Detmer, Doug Peterson. You know, these guys all went on,
Matt Hasselbeck.
I was about to say, I knew we were missing one.
Like, look at Detroit, Jason.
Actually, I'm embarrassed we went to Aaron Brooks before Matt Hasselbeck. I want to apologize to Matt Hasselbeck for that before.
But look at the difference in Detroit without Ben Johnson. You know what I mean? It's just, I don't think people understand it. There's a lot of crappy coaches in this league.
So do you think, Jason, that the Packers would spend to have Malik Willis be the backup? Because if they're, whether or not he sticks around, I think they have to give him a raise in order to keep him in free agency, correct?
No doubt. Yep. No doubt. Yep.
I think that's a worthwhile insurance policy. Because as we've seen, I mean, Jordan got hurt last year. Even when he missed a couple of plays, like, I'm not saying that Jordan's injury are prone by any stretch of the imagination, but you're playing 17, potentially 18 games soon. It's hard to stay healthy for all of those games, regardless of the position you play. Having a solid backup quarterback that can do what he did last year and go out and win you a game or two, I think there's value in that.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, what we have talked about spoiled, right? I mean, not only were Favre and Rodgers all-time great quarterbacks, they are also, I mean, my God, Rodgers is trying to convince the Steelers to let him play with a broken left wrist, right?
Why do I have a feeling he's going to succeed?
I do too. No, I don't have any question. Favre played those, I mean, again, I love to bring this up, but Favre played two different seasons with a broken thumb on his throwing hand. He was, you know, the greatest Iron Man and tough guy ever. Rodgers plays one with a broken thumb in 2022. Oh, he sucked that year. But those guys are legit throwbacks. Like, I think Rodgers would tell you, if he had some truth serum or ayahuasca, he would say it on the record, that he followed Favre and he felt an incredible pressure to play through everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he tried very hard to get back. Like, in the true story of 2013 was that he convinced Doc McKenzie to let him play before Doc McKenzie wanted him to play in that Bears game. I let's not forget that. And so my point is that because of what those guys were able to do, both as Hall of Fame players and throwback Iron Man tough guys, like, we forget how frequently really good quarterbacks miss a game or two. And it pains, I've made this joke before, but I like it so much I'm going to recycle it. It pains me to say that the Packers should follow the Chicago Bears lead, but what they did with Badgett is really smart. And I don't think that's been said very often about their personnel moves, but it's true. And so if Malik, now I talked to Malik I think it was at the end of training camp, because I wrote a story about how if things go according to plan, we won't see Malik Willis again unless it's in mop-up duty of a 38-10 blowout. But instead, it ended up being those seven plays Sunday, and he again rose to the occasion. But I talked to him about it, and I think he's a prideful guy. Like, he wants to go show that he can be more than just a backup in the NFL. And I who could possibly begrudge him for that desire, right? So I don't know if it'll come to that. I don't know if he'll have that opportunity. I don't know how other people around the league view him. But it all goes back to what Chewy said. Like, if he were to sign somewhere, and he gets a really smart offensive coach who's going to be innovative, who's going to put him in position to succeed, who's going to recognize, okay, these are the things he throws well, these are the things he doesn't, so we shouldn't do that kind of stuff, and we're going to give him smart opportunities to run, I think he could be a successful, solid NFL starting quarterback, yes.
Jason, what did this win tell you, if anything?
Look, I'm a big believer in adversity and the value in that. Like, yes, would it have been great if they'd have blown them out 38-10? And quite frankly, would they have if they could catch an interception or two and catch a pass or two that they didn't catch? But what it told me is that they are still a flawed football team, flawed offensively, without Tucker Kraft. I mean, Luke Musgrave played the least number of snaps of the three tight ends they have left. Josh Wiley played one more snap than he did. And LaFleur gets up there, you know, yesterday, I was going to write about this today, and goes up there and says, you know, hey, we, you know, it's already been addressed with the coaching staff. You know, we got to play Luke Musgrave more. And because I'm not a jerk, I didn't say the follow-up question, which was, why? Right? I mean, and look, Luke's a good kid. I have nothing against him. But, like, if you're not adept at blocking and you're a pass-catching tight end and you drop two passes, why am I putting you on the field, right? And I know that I sound like a complete jerk saying that. And I should give him the same, well, maybe not the same, but a similar benefit of the doubt to Bo Melton, who should have caught that fourth down pass without any question a couple weeks ago. But Luke Musgrave, they have to, if you're going to say, well, I've already addressed it with my coaching staff, he needs to play more, then it's also incumbent on Luke Musgrave to play better. And I don't think that's harsh criticism. He has got to be better because they are counting on him to elevate his game. And being just a guy, then they might as well put Fitzpatrick and Wiley Coyote out there. Because if he's not going to catch the football, you know, I'm sorry, it's a harsh league. And if LaFleur wants him back, I mean, look, we've seen examples, including the fourth and one play in the fourth quarter against the Eagles. Like, blocking, he continues to struggle with that, right? I mean, he just does. So I think that's one of the lessons. And then the whole, you know, Gabe, Josh Jacobs thing. Like, I really, that has gained some steam with some other personalities on our programming, Josh, and a few others.
Sir?
So I'm still not sure I'm on board with that, but I'm very curious to see what things look like moving forward.
I do want comment because I've listened to you talk about it on KBN. If we know the rush offense is ineffective, if we know the offensive line isn't blocking the way they should, wouldn't continuing to rely on the run to the degree that the Packers have, if you look at it, their pass rate over expected is bottom 12 in all of the NFL, and Jordan Love's EPA is the best in all of the NFL. Wouldn't that sort of dictate you to then change your approach despite you playing such matchups? Because to me, teams are baiting you into running the ball because they know it's less effective, less efficient, and going to lead to less points for you.
Yeah, I know your heels are dug in to a very deep level of the sand.
Josh? What?
Yes, I know. I don't know if people know this about Josh. Josh, if you could see our text chain that he is in with us, he is like, he is an opinionated cat, man. Like, and he knows better than Matt LaFleur. Just ask him.
It's not what I said.
No, that's what you know. You don't say that, but that's what you think. But I look, I'm not saying that you guys don't have valid points on this. I swear to God, I'm not. What I'm saying is that convincing a coach who has a belief in the can system, and this is all of those guys, right? I mean, from Shanahan and McVay on down, their belief is sooner or later, if, because God, how many times do you hear LaFleur talk about the word execution, right? Like, it reminds me of that old Tampa Bay Buccaneers coach, John McKay, What did you think of your? What do you think of your team's execution?
I'm in favor.
And
for
he says, I'd be in favor of it, right? Like, when they don't execute, Matt LaFleur looks like an inept coach, and all coaches are subject to that. But again, when they have Josh Jacobs, who was as productive as he was, and when they have a look that should work with an effective run, I was asking Jordan about this last week. Like they are, and he, being a guy that, unlike his two predecessors, is far more likely to paint by the numbers than do whatever the heck he wants, he is going to can to the run. Now, do I think you guys have a valid point? And I was trying to, and Josh was evasive on this last week, because I flat out asked him,
me?
Do you prefer to run out of the shotgun?
Oh.
Is that your preference?
I don't know, Josh. Well, let's let Josh. Do you prefer to run out of the shotgun? What are your preferences? Or do you like it when they're under center?
I like it under center.
Okay, all right.
Josh Jacobs.
Oh,
Josh
okay.
Funny guys. See, and you guys are deflecting because you know I'm on to something. Anyway, and he was evasive, which tells me you guys are right about that.
Yeah.
Right? Like, otherwise, why do you? No, I don't care. As long as I get the ball, would have been my answer, unless, of course, it's true. So my point is that I think there's an argument to be made that Matt LaFleur should not kowtow to his running back's desires, no matter how good his running back is. And that you have to be able to say as a coach, look, man, I know you prefer this. I will certainly make it part of what we do. But to get back to being as productive as we're capable of being, I need you to be comfortable being uncomfortable running the ball this way.
Yep.
Can you do that for me? So that, to me, that's the part of what you guys have argued that I am 100% on board with. The suggestion that they could be a better offense without him, that that's a bridge too far for me.
It all comes down to whether or not Matt LaFleur has that conversation with Josh. And if he doesn't have that conversation with Jacobs, then I think the whole maybe they're a better offense without him becomes a reality. Like, if Josh is willing to change the way that he likes to do things and be like, yeah, okay, instead of 15 carries out of the shotgun, it's only 7. You know, I think it just makes everything better. Yeah. But Jason, before we let you go, I have to ask this. Because it was literally the first thing I noticed when I opened up to watch the Matt LaFleur press conference yesterday. Has he always been a two-watch guy?
What?
He was wearing two watches yesterday. He had one on the left wrist, one on the right wrist.
Oh, I have no idea. Okay. I did not. Boy, you're really? An observant too. I did not see that. I guess I wasn't. All I've noticed, well, a couple things. First of all, what we established today is if your name is Josh, you are stubborn. two, that the camera guy, and I actually got a note from my buddy Kyle Malzahn, who works for WFRV up here. Apparently, he was the one who was bumping the camera that caused it to appear.
That just started to raise the ceiling.
Yeah. So that was nice. And then three, Matt LaFleur now definitely, when I am asking a question, knows that he has an opportunity to take a long pull of water from his bottled water and have plenty of time to drink it before the answer is completed.
I'm surprised you got your last question because they said two more questions, Jason, and yours was the third. And I thought LaFleur looked to the side like, I thought we said two more.
And Wallers wasn't looking, so he did not get the reaction he was hoping for. And by the way, again, for my critics out there, appreciate you. I love you holding me accountable and being really pleasant about it. But his answer to that question.
It was a good back and forth answer about Malik.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it was worth it.
I will add, after Gabe sent me this, I did a little investigative reporting, and that's mostly guessing and looking at the video more in depth as I was cutting it. It looks to be like one of those health tracking bracelets, what it looks like on the right wrist.
So I didn't know. It looked. I couldn't quite tell. I don't know if that was an Apple Watch.
Left looks Apple Watch.
The left, yeah. So I'm not sure, but he's. It just looked very strange to me. I'll send you the screenshot I grabbed, Jason, and you can just get back to me if he's wearing two watches and what the heck's going on.
Well, one might be Lombardi time and one might be the real time. Right?
Does he got an aura? Does he have an aura ring on too? Like, the breakdowns are you guys are so detail oriented. I have so much respect for you. And by the way, Chewy, I think that was that deserved more airtime right there. That he's got his Lombardi time watch and then his actual time watch. Yeah. That was a pretty good line. And we just totally, and I'm at fault for ignoring it.
That's okay, buddy. I still love you.
You too, buddy.
We look forward to talking to you on Thursday, Jason.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde joins us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy 3 times a week. Brought to you by Lakeland Supply. They're in business to make your business better. Set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com.